Oh, yeah, trucks. You gotta have trucks.
Are you ready for some door to call? Punching girls on the door to fall. Doug and Scott, I will do what they do. And you'll find them all on those who got you. They really have a ball. Creepy girls and scary tales. None of them will win a world to fail. Doug and Scott are hanging out in Wilson. And they do it all from the haunted basement. Every Sunday night.
Great time. Here's Johnny.
Well, that worked well.
That worked
well.
Maybe not for me.
That worked about as good as a car crash.
Sometimes.
You know, you try to be professional.
I know. It's just always
you try to have some dignity back here behind the mic.
And something happens.
And someone turns the mic up while you're blabbering away. Thanks, Will.
At least you weren't cursing.
Yeah, that could
be. Okay, usually am. Anybody that's ever heard any of our pre-show annex, except for the edited one last week where I edited all the swear words. Well, a couple of, I think, slipped by from what I've heard.
I don't know.
Hey, Scott, you said the F word. Yeah, so what? Like, I've never said the F word before.
That's what, $50,000 or $500,000?
No, it's $500,000 for every F word. So right now,
if we were on real radio.
Yeah, if you're in the FM union.
Yeah.
If you're on FM, we'd, like, be done. We would have to, I'd have to remortgage my house.
I'd be, like, returning bottles and everything. Everybody, this is Ghostly Talk. I'm Doug.
I'm Scott L.
And I am Karma.
And, of course, Will's in the house, bringing up the mics too soon and things like that for us, which is awesome.
Screwing the sound up. Hey, thanks, Will. Hey, man.
I always bring up at 40 seconds.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I know, but I didn't put the cue in it 40
change
seconds,
is
though.
Good.
Oh. I just kind of tossed it in there.
You didn't let me know about the cue because I had to work.
We have a...
You want a slapbox? You want
it?
Let's thumb wrestle first.
Don't start that.
I'm right. Let's thumb wrestle over it.
This is already quite a wacko show. We have a website.
I think
none of
us have slept.
We have a website. No, I did. I slept
did
like
too.
87 hours yesterday, so I needed it. We have a website. It's www.ghostlytalk.com.
Yeah, yeah.
Ghostly Talk is, of course, run on the live from 7 p.m. till 9 p.m. Eastern Time
mm-hmm.
on the Pioneer Internet Radio Network. That's pioneer.rollo.net. That is the home of Ghostly Talk. That's where we're live. We're also replayed several different places throughout the internet.
Mm-hmm.
We're replayed on KSSX FM out of California, Moist FM on Live 365.
Go ahead and say it, Karma.
Moist. Well,
I need that
here it's
out.
Like super wet.
Super wet.
And all these studs, I know.
And,
I meant the water, the standing water.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
yeah. And so we're replayed on Moist, we're replayed on Radio New York International.
Yeah.
So we're replayed through various places throughout the internet throughout the week. Of course, Ghostly Talk is only live, as far as I know, on Pioneer Radio.
Yeah,
As far as we know.
There's probably some hack out there right now going, okay, guys, get the feed.
They can hijack the feed, you know, so I don't know.
Yeah, hijack the feed.
Really?
Nice choice of words there.
Why would they want
We got the feed.
Why would they want
jihad on Ghostly Talk.
No, they'd be like, this is Doug, and I hate America.
You are listening to Ghostly Talk right now. We do not like the American people at all. We have... I'm sorry, go
and
ahead.
And I have converted. I am not Christian no more.
We're all Muslims now. Just wanted to let you know.
Hello, my name is Abib.
Oh, God, you're going to get us all sued. We're all going to hell.
Do you know how many people are in India? Anyway.
Yeah, and they're all coming over right now. They're all on a plane right now.
And they know Scott L.
Yeah. They know me. They do know me. I'm the guy. I'm the mean guy that they call.
They're
they
like,
don't give them any help at all.
We want to talk to Hitler now.
In case you guys were wondering.
Yeah. We're going to get something done today.
We are going to have a show today. Yes.
Yeah. Slack.
We what?
Let's just slack.
Let's just slack off the show and just not. Yeah.
Let's play hooky.
Grab a little card.
That's it. Scott's playing.
I'm turning the mic off and running away.
Yes, you can listen to us play cards for 2 hours. That sounds
Christian.
Yeah, Jin. I don't even know
well,
how to
you pull one hell of a bluff there,
so we do have a show for you today. We're going to be talking about, of course, remote viewing.
Don't worry about you.
And there's a project that we've got going on. We're working with Trinity Science International at trinityscience.com.
Mm-hmm.
And we're working with them to actually do a real experiment.
Yeah.
And this
through
is
the whole month of June.
Through the whole it's going to be quite a long thing because we still have time for people to finish their parts and things like that. It's going to be an experiment in remote viewing, and we have Vance West of Trinity Science coming on to tell us about it.
Speaking of Moist, actually, he's on right now.
So you're trying.
Nice segue.
What are you trying to? He makes you moist.
There's Vance just twiddling his thumbs under the phone.
All right.
Welcome to the show, Vance.
Well, thank you for having me back. This is great.
Yeah, it's good to have you back on, Vance.
This is good stuff.
Yeah, we're going to be covering. We're going to try to cover a lot today. I mean, basically, what we were planning for today was to really introduce this experiment that we were going to do through the month of June. Which is basically, we're going to title it the Open Remote Viewing Project, if I am correct. We want to guide this. I know, Vance, you did send a presentation over today, and I got about 2 minutes to look at it before the show. We discussed it for a second before the show of what we wanted to cover, but, I mean, do you want to kind of go through the project itself and what you want to do, or do you want to discuss the mechanics again?
Well, I'll kind of just... I guess roughly outline the setup or the process we're going to go through with the project, and then we can kind of maybe get into some mechanics of the remote viewing itself. I go from there.
Now we have been taking submissions for this project also, and I have to thank everybody so far that's emailed in. I have you all on a list right now, and when we roll this thing out, I'm going to hit you guys. We're going to like contact you guys too. So everybody who's listening who has emailed us. Just hang tight. You will be getting contacted soon. Sorry, Vance. I just wanted to get that out real quick.
Yeah, absolutely. And I apologize also. This the presentation, it's up on my site, and it's a real small presentation, and it's nowhere complete yet. It's still got some stuff that's got to be put in there as far as the mechanics. So probably in the next 2-3 days, I'll have that complete, and then I'll of course make some refinements as we go, and it'll definitely be done for the next show completely.
Yeah, we're gonna have this up on the Ghostly Talk site, and we're also gonna have it up on your site too, right?
Right. Yeah, okay. It's gonna be linked from both, and I also plan on, and it should be no problem, for the next show, I'll have a small video clip, maybe a 10-minute video clip, of me just demonstrating real quick the mechanics of remote viewing or. For people that are totally new to remote viewing, the mechanics of what they could do to jump right in and participate with this project. And it's important to note with this that in no way is this formal remote viewing instruction. This isn't the formal techniques as taught by the military or the ex-military viewers now or a lot of the commercial entities that are teaching.
Mm-hmm.
It's really just meant as an introduction, almost a... for lack of a better term, and no offense to anyone, remote viewing for dummies, really. It's remote viewing 101, and it's just a slick introduction that people could do a little reading and maybe check out the 10-minute video clip and hopefully participate. But the bottom line is this is going to be a really cool experiment, and it should be fun. I mean,
well,
that's
it's going to be a good start for some people, too, I think.
Well, it'll be a good start for people, but it'll also provide valid results, because there's various different ways of doing remote viewing, but the thing is what they used to do, according to one of the books that I read, is they would lock the remote viewer in a room with some person, and then that was used. It didn't matter how they got their info.
Mm-hmm.
They could pull it out of their ear for all they cared. You know, it didn't matter if they got the info somehow. That's pretty much what we're looking for.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to give you some guidelines on how remote viewing is done. You don't have to do it that way. You can sit down and meditate. You can sit down and go through actual CRV if you've went through training. You can do however you want. You come up with your results. We're going to combine all them together and come out with a statistical study, analysis.
And it's going to be posted up on both sites for people to look at.
Posted up on TrinityScience.com as well as GhostlyTalk.com. And people can look at this, these results of basically whomever wants to participate.
Yeah
exactly. Really. That's a great point. Thanks for bringing that up. But, yeah, we absolutely do not want to limit this to any one methodology. Anyone that has... you know, professionals or anyone that has any type of formal training, by all means, man, we welcome your contributions. Anyone that has no training whatsoever or does a methodology that is different from what we would consider a controlled or CRV type methodology, it doesn't matter. Just whatever you do, participate. That's the bottom line. We want to have fun. We want to have participation and get some cool data and see what this can do. And
well, it's great so far, the submissions we've had.
Because we want to look at the results.
Yeah.
We want to look at the results of this. No matter how you obtain your results, analyze them and say, hey, this is encouraging, or hey, this experiment didn't go well, or hey, at least we have fun.
We're going to learn either way from it.
We're all going to be learning, and that's the goal.
The emails I've received so far have been great. They've been everything from all the way over to, yes, I'm a trained remote viewer, and I'd like to be part of this. This looks really cool. To people going, what's remote viewing, Scott? So I'm sending them stuff going, okay, well, you might want to look at this. Now, that's one question I had for you, Vance. You sent me some links a while back after we had you on the first time.
Right.
And I actually went and downloaded and printed out the whole controlled remote viewing manual.
Oh, that's huge.
Yeah, I'm sure my employer is very happy with me because of that. But aside from that...
Technical docs.
Yeah, these are knowledge-based documentations, like you're saying. this is business-related. But I've been, grazing through it, getting an idea of what's going on, trying to get, just get a good feel for it. And the one thing that stuck out for me was at the very beginning, there's an actual, in the controlled remote viewing manual, which is crbmanual.com. Am I correct, Vance?
That's correct, yeah.
Cool, all right. In the beginning, there's an actual article by Ingo Swamp. And he does talk about, this is not going to teach you how to remote view. This is not going to make you a competent trained remote viewer. This is only a guideline to teach you how it works. The question I have, he does say in there, if you want to learn how to remote view, you should, go after training. You should take training, which does cost up into the thousands to go to these classes.
Yeah.
Now, the question I have for you, Vance, is, do you share that opinion as far as this goes, or do you think that it can be, you can learn this?
Well, there's a certain amount that certainly can be absorbed via online materials, via the CRV manual.
Mm-hmm.
It's a great reference material, but, absolutely, again, it is not a curriculum. To really properly learn all the nuances that's involved in such a incredible skill like this, you really need instruction. You really need someone that's going to mentor you and give you the tips and tricks. The good thing is that this day and age, whereas, a couple of years ago, to really get the training, you had to, it was almost all private one-on-one training, essentially. There wasn't a lot of, say, workshops or group-type training available, so it was really an incredibly expensive process to actually get formal training. Nowadays, there are quite a few groups that are offering online training, and it's really effective. It's really good training, and it's a lot less expensive. It's really good. You do get mentoring via, most of them assigned a mentor that works with you via email, limited phone conversations, but a lot of step-by-step, really detailed instruction. And it is really, really a good way to go. in lieu of forking out the big bucks for one-on-one training. And there's quite a few places that are doing that in a very reputable places. I mean, whether it's HRVG.org, those guys have an incredible curriculum over there. FM Bonville over at SciSpy.com. I believe Aaron and Jennifer, their curriculum is going to be coming out this summer or later this year. That's going to be a fantastic thing for people that are interested in doing that. So there's lots of alternatives now. So that's really a cool thing.
Let's talk about some successes. There's got to be, because in order for it to have taken over the world like it has, there must be something behind it, some meat to it. We know that Project Stargate happened, and the Department of Defense and all that, even though they, probably didn't want us to know. We know that Project Stargate happened. We know that, it was in the government. We know that the movie with the FBI remote viewers, and Aaron Donahue plays one, is coming out this summer. I do, too, offhand. But they...
Suspect Zero.
Yeah, Suspect Zero is coming out, so it's hitting mainstream media as well. But there are some real successes, like Joe McMonagle had remote viewed. He was looking in a window at some people who were captured, and something happened to them. I don't remember the exact story, but he had a really big hit because he called and let the government know that this had happened before they received official word that something had happened to some kidnap suspects or something like that. Anyway, there's successes like that. What kind of successes in remote viewing have you heard of, Vance?
Well, I mean, besides, we could probably spend various shows talking about some of the military exploits of what they, as you were talking about, whether it's Joe McMonagle or Lynn Buchanan, some of the military viewers in dealing with hostage scenarios or looking for foreign military new weaponry or other types similar things. There's just gobs of documented papers dealing with that. In the civilian sector, once it came out of the military and kind of transitioned into a more public sector or commercial type thing, There's still quite a few instances. Even Lynn Buchanan nowadays, and also Joe McMonagle, as far as I'm aware, they do quite a few missing children type things.
Mm-hmm.
There's lots of work with law enforcement, and not necessarily just missing persons. There's obviously a lot of law enforcement application for remote viewing that might just put the investigators back on the proper path of an investigation. It might not be... That's the thing with remote viewing. It's really meant to be a complement to conventional investigation methods. It's not a panacea. It's not a something you would want entirely base your investigation on. It has to be in conjunction with someone out there doing the field work. So
you don't
want to
put all your eggs in that if you're going to bring that into an investigation. I mean, you should use it as a tool.
Yeah, it's a tool, exactly. It's just another tool to collect intel, and there's some pretty cool stuff. The bulk of it is minor stuff. There's not of missing children. Ironically, is a very, very incredibly hard thing to deal with remote viewing wise, because you're dealing with trying to pinpoint geographically a location, and really, there's probably only a handful of people in the world, remote viewing-wise, that are able to do something like that. Aaron, of course, has a couple documented media things on his site documenting that. And, he's one of the few people that has that ability. But the ability to locate missing children, that's such a tough, tough thing. Remote viewing, really, in the private sector, it's small little steps. Maybe a law enforcement... they need a piece of evidence to help them get to the next step of investigation. That's remote viewing can flesh out details. Other than that, there's some really unique stuff going on with lottery. There's lots of commercial type thing where research and development and companies, that's another huge thing. What's the next trend 6 months out in the processing market for CPUs or Silicon Valley, that type of thing? That's a really neat, interesting thing. So there's lots of cool applications for it.
Maybe Martha Stewart should have took that direction.
Yeah,
I remote viewed it.
Maybe she did.
maybe she did. Yeah. Yeah.
So I sold. Oops. But they have. So the remote viewing, there's pretty much it's small successes in the commercial applications for it.
Yeah, what I would,
and there's a few big bangs, you know, where whoa, this was awesome. But it's really a very useful tool and a useful skill to have. So it would be interesting for people to study it a little bit and try and participate, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I consider them small successes because when you look at remote viewing, when you look at the bulk of work that's published out there, it's pretty rare to see remote viewing session work that is, you know, what we consider, you know, wow, 100% accurate or something like that. That's very, very rare. Most of it, you have good data and you have bad data. You have noise in every single session. The idea of being 100% correct 100% of the time just doesn't happen. You know, that's why you can look at remote viewing work and you know, whether it's our site or someone else's site, you can look at sessions and say, wow, you know, here's some really good data here, but okay, I can see where they got a little off track over here. That's just the nature of the tool. It's such a new skill. It's such a new science, and it's evolving, and that's really the bottom line is to get more people involved in remote viewing and push the envelope and see what we can do with this, because no one has all the answers. I mean, it's still such
a
young,
you guys are learning
science,
too.
Research has to be done into it.
And
this
is part of the research. Our little project is going to become part of the earlier research. Eventually, this will be part of the earlier research, and people will look at this and say, oh, look, they opened up a project to anybody who wanted to participate.
Yeah.
And look at these results. And
well, yeah, that's
so this
that's
data
too.
Is going to add to the cumulative research about remote viewing.
For all you people that are going to get involved with this or already have emailed me concerning this, I mean, I don't know how this is going to go.
Nobody knows how
this is going to go. We know this is going to be done just as live and off the shirt tail as the radio show Ghostly Talk is done, basically. So we don't know what's going to happen either. I mean,
you know, I've never experimented with remote viewing or anything, but it's kind of like if it goes well, it's kind of like a try it before you buy it type thing. That's the way I'm looking at it. If I like it and it's good, I will probably further my my knowledge and education into it, you know, because I've been getting some emails for $50 or whatever a session or three sessions you get to, you know, with the FM Bonzel, is it?
Yeah, Bonzel.
And I was thinking, oh, that's cool. I think I'd like to do it, but I'm kind of like, I don't know, kind of like a little shy. So I think that
so it'll
with
be
doing,
interesting to...
yeah, to see if I even, you know, come close or maybe. Add, whatever I add would be beneficial.
If it's beneficial, sure.
That's the thing. This is an experiment, though, so we don't want to see anybody getting frustrated with
Vance,
it either, you know?
Vance mentioned how new it was. And it is relatively new because I know that it really started taking off when Ingo Swann was... Him and he was at the American Society for Psychical Research or Paranormal Research. What's the ASPR? American...
You're looking at me.
I don't remember. It's called the ASPR anyway. This is back about probably 40 years ago or so.
Right.
And he didn't call it remote viewing at the time because it didn't have a name.
Right.
But they were studying out-of-body experiences, actually. And Ingo found that he could actually move his consciousness to different places. So they were studying it. They would put, you know, words in envelopes and put them on a shelf in a locked safe, you know. They would say, you know, okay, there's this place that somebody is, go find this person and then describe the place that person's at. They thought that it was all they thought it was all mostly out of body experience kind of stuff at the time.
Right.
But
he
was saying, no, I'm actually moving my consciousness. It's not my double, you know, my spirit or anything, it's my consciousness. I'm shifting perception to a different place.
Right.
And so they did study it under the auspices of out of body experiences. And then from there, Ingo actually built up quite a company. He was doing this for companies in the private sector after that. And, you know, he would shift his consciousness to board meetings or whatever for companies and things like that, and decide and try and find out what was going on at competitors and try and find missing children and stuff like that. But he built up a little company that did that kind of thing for anyone who wanted it. So it was a it was brand new, what, not even 40 or 50 years ago.
Right.
As far as happening, the as far as it, you know, being there was no previous documentation. Just what Ingo and the ASPR came up with, and then from there it like took off, and people are like, well, we can use this in military, you know, military applications, and then that's when Project Stargate and its predecessors happened. So it's all brand new. This is the cutting edge psychic science right now, and mm-hmm. we're working on it. We're going to try and add to the add to the body of data.
I'd like to think that we're working on it for non-military purposes.
Absolutely.
Well, of course. Yeah. Well, like, for example, Trinity Science. When you were on last time, your Trinity Science had done a project.
Yeah, what I did after the show, one of the things I wanted to do was get into the habit of, on a monthly basis, working what we call double blind experiments, where not only is the remote viewer 100% blind to the target, but also anyone involved or anyone that's in contact with remote viewers are also 100% blind to the target. So we use an outside tasking agent, someone that actually creates the target. So it's a double blind experiment, so there's no possibility or there's no argument about, okay, well, was there some type of telepathic overlay that, you know, the person was able to pick up what the target did? There is none of that because it's totally, totally isolated. So we got into the swing of wanting to do this just for the sake of putting more documentation out into the community and saying, look, you know, here's some remote viewing, and you can look at it, and you can say, well, you know, okay, here's some good data, here's some bad data, and that's remote viewing. You have good data and bad data. You have good days, bad days, good sessions, bad sessions. And it is what it is. But you can see, without a doubt, you know, looking at it, that there's something going on. And that's the exciting thing. But it is very frustrating. You know, as someone that participates in remote viewing, it's a discipline. It's a skill, like learning to play the piano or something else. You have to keep going, keep practicing, and you get more consistent as you go, but you have to stick with it. But yeah, it can be incredibly frustrating, when you want to get the big hits, because they're, sometimes they're few and far in between, really.
Well, just like bowling. I mean, anybody can go bowling,
yeah,
right? And you're going to knock down a few pins here and there,
right?
Right. It's going to be very rare that a human's going to go bowling and bowl all gutter balls. Right? And
you never bowled with me.
Oh, really? And it's going to be extremely rare that you go bowling, even as skilled as you are, that you're going to bowl the 300 games.
You go bowling with me then.
So, but it does.
Oh, don't even look at me like that.
Mm-hmm.
But both ends happen, but humans can bowl, and humans can knock down some pins. So
you got to take baby steps. That's the bottom line.
Yeah.
I mean, I hope no one's going to walk into this thing who has submitted their, you know, that they want to volunteer thinking, well, hey, I'm going to be getting myself a job with the CIA as soon as I'm done with this little project.
Oh, we're not?
No, I don't plan on doing that.
Oh, I thought.
I don't know anybody else plans on doing that. This
I
is an experiment.
Either,
this is an experiment. Cut and dry.
So I wanted to ask, because I don't really know that much about remote viewing, but as this project like progresses, like in the start of it, basically, is there going to be like little helpful hints on how to? Is that
Absolutely.
Good.
That's part of the presentation I'm putting together. And again, I apologize for not having it totally complete right now, but we'll definitely have it kind of finalized before the next show, and also a video clip. But it's going to be a step by step. You know, put your pin here, do this, and this is the type of things. You know, it's not. Not to sound strict like that, but it's going to be a step-by-step process where you'll know exactly what to do, and we'll actually create some worksheets where people that are totally, you know, totally new to this, never been exposed to it, can sit down with a kind of a pre-prepared worksheet that'll kind of lead you through the process, and it'll really only be 3 or 5 minutes of your time to actually participate if you're brand new to this. It's not a thing where you're going to sit down and have to designate an hour of your time isolated to do. So it's a real quick process, step by step. We'll have some instructions, and like I say, it's not formal instruction in actual remote viewing techniques. It's kind of like a remote viewing for dummies, a quick introduction. But hopefully, some people will say, "Hey, this is pretty cool. I want to learn more," and maybe go out and get some some workshops or some online instruction, or, you know, down the road, you know, get, you know, one-on-one instruction. I mean, there's lots of cool things going on within the remote viewing community, so it's all positive, really. So that's a good thing.
And there's a lot of people talk, like, for example, your website at trinityscience.com, you've got the remote viewing message boards. And people go there and they ask you. I've been through there, and people ask you questions and you answer them, and all the remote viewers at Trinity, they get to those message boards and they talk about remote viewing back and forth.
So that's a good resource.
Yeah, the message boards at TrinityScience.com are specifically about remote viewing, and they are, some of them get really in-depth. Of course, most of the questions are about the lottery experiments that you do.
Yeah, that's a big one. And you know, I try to be as open as I can and answer whatever I can, because, you know, I'm still, you know, a babe in the woods when it comes to remote viewing. I mean, I've been remote viewing for, I guess, about 5 years now. But as far as my skill level or, you know, my knowledge of remote viewing, literally, I am a babe in the woods, and there are people that are just so much better than me. I mean, the people that I work with as a team, you know, session-wise, I mean, sometimes, I mean, they're far better remote viewers than me. I mean, I say that humbly because, you know, I don't have all the answers. There's gazillion people that are much more talented than me, and I enjoy talking about remote viewing. I'm a practitioner of remote viewing and enthusiast, and that's what I'm excited about. But, yeah, I'm as open as I can be, and if people have questions, you know, by all means, email. Jump on the message boards. There's a fantastic message board over at 10,000roads.com created by PJ, and she has done just an incredible job creating not only a community, a message center, but she also has tools now to allow people to get blind targets to submit their sessions, and it has a built-in chain of custody type situation where you know someone has actually submitted their session work prior to seeing feedback. I mean, just a wonderful, wonderful community she's created over there.
Amazing. Let's take a quick break.
Sure.
And then we'll come back and talk more about the project. We'll talk more about remote viewing. Talk more with Vance S. West of TrinityScience.com.
And listen to the lyrics of this song, too.
This song?
That we programmed in. Yeah.
Oh, this is the... Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah, it's interesting.
Pay attention.
For Memorial Day.
Yeah, pay attention to this song as we go to break.
Ghostly talk, sticking our nose in the world's business.
What happened to your journalistic responsibility?
What do you mean journalistic responsibility? I talk about aliens for crying out loud.
Yeah? And what do you think aliens are?
Talking about this kind of stuff.
Aliens'
responsibility is usually holding the truth back.
Glad's
trying to bring it back out to people, let them see these things.
There you go.
I think
that's
we got one vote on your side,
Glad. What are you
talking about? Well, you do. A lot of people are on my side, I think.
Well, that's good. That's good.
Just when you thought it was safe to get drunk, then say hi to your friends.
Drunken Dialing.
Drunken Dialing.
Just when you thought it was safe. That late night booty call.
Drunken Dialing.
Drunken Dialing.
Oh.
Oh.
In the house.
Oh.
There's a kangaroo kickboxing in my
body. Oh.
www.drunkendialing.com.
Good night. Say good night.
Hey, good night,
dummy.
I see you clinging, stereotyping, just to feel comfort, just to belong. Desperate for meaning to make sense of your life. Let me try to make you understand. You got it wrong. You're not gonna catch me. Part of your pride. This ain't the homeland.
then be a part of your plight. Then be a part of your plight.
What was that look for, Will?
I think he wants you.
He does too.
To make sure I can bring him up without you talking first.
Oh, sorry. I was excited.
That's the exciting part, yeah.
I was excited and I wanted to talk.
So tell us about that song.
What song? Oh, that song that we just played?
Yeah.
Oh, it's, what, you want to know who it's by?
Mm-hmm.
It's by a band called No Use for a Name out of Southern California.
Cool.
The song is called Pride. And it's about, if you just read, I was listening to it on the way here, actually.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just listening to the lyrics, and I'm like, wow, this is like, because it's really about what's going on right now in the United States, actually. I think it's the mentality of people in the United States. If you listen to the lyrics, I'm not going to sit here and, like, spell it all out for you and, like, sing the lyrics again. But if you just listen to the lyrics, it's really what's going on right now, the mentality people have. But if you want to hear it again, go out and buy the album. I think the album's called More Betterness. The album's called More Betterness by No Use for a Name.
Awesome.
Great band. Great, cool. Great band. So, yeah, wow, cool. There's my prop for underground punk rock music. Let's move on now.
This is Ghostly Talk. I'm Doug.
I'm Scott L.
And I am Karma.
And Will's in working on the mixing board. He's also in the chat rooms. If you go to pioneer.rollo.net, there's a text chat link.
And you can talk to Will.
Yes, and you can get in the chat rooms and laugh at us, holler at us, whatever you want to do in
the
chat rooms.
It'll be you, Will, and his fingers going to town.
Yeah,
we're very fortunate. Actually, we've got I'm in there. Will's in there. Lakota is in the room. Mm-hmm. Lakota's in the room again, and welcome back, Lakota. LFM's away. Phobos, of course, is in the room. Hi,
Hi
Phobos.
Oh,
hey man, you got to.
I haven't talked to him in a while.
Snow Queen's evidently in bed, and Jess from Trinity Science. Kemet and P13, they're all in the room, they're all chatting about us.
I think I scared Phobos away.
You did?
Yeah, I'm not stalking you, for real.
Well, he's an Englishman.
Yeah.
You can't put up with that sassy American girl stuff.
Yeah, very proper.
You just can't throw yourself at him.
I don't throw myself at him any more than I do you guys.
It's called courting.
Courting.
Courting, yeah. Chivalry.
I don't even have a name for it.
It's called being me. I can't help it.
So we're
you're
here.
You're throwing yourself on it.
We're here talking.
No.
We're not only are we talking about Phobos, but we're also talking about remote viewing.
Lumberjack.
And lumberjack.
Oh, no.
And lots of wood. That's what we're talking about.
Wow.
Yeah.
Bug.
So we're
throwing it out there on the table for us just to jump all over the
grid.
Lots of wood.
So we're talking about a project. We're producing this project,
yeah.
The Trinity Science International folks at trinityscience.com,
uh-huh.
And Ghostly Talk folks. We're going to co-sponsor this project,
yeah.
Where anybody can get a little introduction on how to do remote viewing and participate in an actual remote viewing experiment,
you know, one thing,
which we will publish the results.
What I should do also, when we discussed this thing like last week, all of us here, well,
mm-hmm.
except for you, Karma.
Yeah.
You were away somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to get that itinerary that I gave everybody.
Yep.
I'm going to get that up on the site also.
Okay.
So people have an idea of what's going to be happening also. They should know that.
Okay.
What we're going to do on top of actually, you know, doing our every Sunday broadcast, in lieu of this project for the month of June and July, we're going to do, we're working on it right now, and I did email... corporate about this.
Yeah.
About getting the extra airtime, and I haven't received an email back from corporate. Corporate needs to email us back about this so we know what's going on.
Yeah.
Did I mention that corporate needs to email us back?
You said that once.
Okay, corporate, yeah. It's very important that they email us back about this.
Yeah,
corporate's in England, right?
Yeah, corporate's in England. It's right
in a different time zone.
It's
right.
I think things are a little tight.
Yeah, well, we need to get that worked out as soon as possible, okay? Just get back with me because I emailed you about this morning.
Don't put up with that.
I'm just making sure we got this straightened out. Cool, but we're gonna work some OT though over June and July and have some extra show. What am I getting hit for?
Ow.
That's for follows.
Oh, thank you.
Well, these cyber relationships, man, I tell you, they're really emotional.
You're bad mouthing them.
I wasn't bad mouthing anybody. I was just saying
it.
We need to get this taken care of
because we do want to do a couple of Thursday shows.
We want to do some extra shows, and we're going to bring Vance on also, so we can kind of like guide and like go through this project and keep it going smoothly. We're going to need to do that.
Right.
So, like I said, I'm going to get that schedule up on the site tonight for people to look at.
Excellent.
That should help out.
Excellent.
Vance.
Yeah, I'm still there.
He's like, okay, these guys are just running their mouth. I'm going to go.
It's all business.
We started talking about lumberjacks and it was all down.
Can I say
there.
Something silly?
Yes.
Vance, fancy pants.
I've never heard that before.
Vance, feel free to just jump all over if you want.
No, there's no line. No cutting.
Oh, okay.
No cutting.
Wow.
So what happens?
You take lines now?
But money will get you quicker to the
you're sick.
Of the line.
What are you talking about?
About money? What are you talking about?
Sex.
Well, then I think we just collaborated on
we have another project going on.
Oh, okay. My.
Okay, now where were we?
I'm sorry.
The birth of a new project. Well,
together, here.
I always do that.
What we're talking about is, okay, the documentation is going to go up on the site. There's some already at trinityscience.com.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to mirror that and put it on the ghostlytalk.com website so that no matter which website you go to, you'll see the documentation. Talking about it, of course, you can talk about it in the Ghostly Talk forums, but I think that the best place to talk about the project would be the Trinity Science forums because that's where the remote viewers hang.
Yeah.
You know, because us Ghostly Talk people, we don't, you know, we're like
so, Doug and Scott on camera, what do you think about this? And we're like, grapes are green.
Yeah. Ask Vance. Yeah. So the Trinity Science forums, of course, are open for talking about remote viewing.
Sorry to break in there, but the forums are down right now.
They're down right now, you said?
Yeah, I was doing a software upgrade, so I should have them up in another day or so.
Okay.
That's great.
Okay,
no problem.
Cool.
That should be plenty of time.
That's what happens to on internet websites.
Yeah.
I noticed that as well, so not a problem.
No problem. So, yeah, now we're going to move on. Like I said, we're going to get the schedule up for you guys. Now, Vance, what we wanted to talk about also to give people a better idea of what was going to be going on with this. I mean, we did discuss this on the last time you were here.
Right.
But we might as well just hammer it into people's heads some more, like the mechanics of this, like how it does work. Because there is a methodology, but this is going to be an open project also, and we've already mentioned that people are going to be able to use whatever means possible to try, I mean, to a certain degree, I guess.
Right, absolutely. Yeah, we don't want to limit, you know, how someone may access their info, absolutely, and the presentation that I'm putting out, you know, literally, do not use what I'm talking about, the methods that I'm using, you know, those are really only meant for someone that's never had any type of remote viewing exposure. So anyone that has any type of training, by all means, you know, you want to use what you're trained to use. You know, don't try to force yourself into using what I'm talking about. That was just meant as a kind of an introduction to someone that has no type of understanding of remote viewing whatsoever. So, yeah, we don't want to limit that. Do you want to talk about how the setup is going to work, or do you want to kind of get into the mechanics of...
Maybe we should start with the setup.
Let's do the setup. Yeah, let's talk about how it's set up.
What's going to happen is, and this is what I envision, is setting this up in a way where, you know, you guys, Ghostly Talk, are going to be... what you consider the project managers. You're the ones who are going to actually assign or post the target ID, the target being the task or the question, person, place, event, thing, or concept that the remote viewers are going to remote view. That's the target. So that target is going to be set up by what we call a tasker, someone who actually creates the remote viewing materials, the target. And this is going to be someone that's not associated with you guys, and is outside of associating with me. It's going to be an independent third-party source that's actually going to create this target, is going to secure the target, and assign it a random set of target ID numbers. So that's going to be the tasker. That's an outside source. And this tasker is going to then relay the target ID only the ID, no target information whatsoever, to the project managers, being you guys over at Ghostly Talk. So you guys will receive an email or phone call, however we set it up, from this tasker saying the target ID is 1234-5678, just some random ID associated with the target that they've set up and secured.
Okay.
And this target is going to be a validation type of target. It's going to be a target that once we're all done at the end of June or into July, whenever we get everything posted, we'll be able to look at the data and look at the target. And it's going to be something what we consider a validation target, where there's known data about it, something we can confirm. So that's important. It's going to be a hard validation target.
So it's unlike the one that was presented about Jesus of Nazareth, which
exactly.
is more
that was more of an point. That target, again, I have to stress, is not a validation target.
Right.
That's
an exploratory kind of thing where you're exploring, and you can't really travel back in time and validate it or not.
Right. There's no type of empirical type data that you can. Put forth about that. It's just exactly, as you say, something that was exploratory. It's esoteric, possibly, in nature. A real interesting target, and learned some really, really neat stuff personally on that. But again, it's not a validation type target. This is going to be something that is, there's going to be feedback to the target, and it's going to be, okay, here's good data or bad data. There's no question. It's going to be something that's known and validatable, verifiable. So that's important. So this tasker will forward this target ID to you guys as the project manager, and you will receive nothing but this target ID, no target information whatsoever. You'll have no idea what the target is. And your sole purpose as target managers, however you guys, if it's all of you taking part as manager or just, designated one person, your sole task will be to essentially, post and announce the target ID to the remote viewers. Here's the remote viewing target ID, 1234-5678, for example. It's not going to be that number, but just as a hypothetical.
Yeah.
So that will be announced, and that will be posted on our next show, whatever we decide the date's going to be on that. And that will be, that as a manager, you'll be announcing that to remote viewers.
Yeah, we're shooting for the
11th. You have the tasker. You have you guys as the manager. I will act as an independent analyst. I will not be remote viewing. I will not know what the target is myself. The only thing I will know is the target ID once you guys announce it. So I'll be entirely blind to the target myself and act as analyst. And what will happen is once we open it up, once you guys actually announce what the target ID is and say, here you go, start, the remote viewers, whoever decides they're going to participate, will basically do their remote viewing sessions, and they will submit their session work to me as the analyst. And we'll set a closeout date that will say you need to have your remote viewing data complete and turned in, submitted by no later than such and such date at such and such time.
Yeah, we have them rough right now. Well, I know that the next show we're going to have you on, we're shooting for the 11th or the 12th of June for that.
Okay.
And I know we actually have a drop-dead date set.
Okay.
After that, so I'm going to have all this posted tonight for everybody to check out. As you go through this, just remember everybody that we're going to have this up, so don't get too overwhelmed. it's going to be all documented for everybody to look at.
Right.
Absolutely. We'll have everything, a lot more, clear cut and posted. So we'll have this drop off date that everyone will need to have their remote viewing session work submitted and completed, turned in to me to the analyst. And my sole purpose as an analyst, and I'll be completely blind to the target, so there's no contamination, or there's no, as an analyst looking at the remote viewing data, there's no possibility or no opportunity for me to try to turn the data into something it is not, because I don't know what the target is. So I'm totally objective, totally blind to what the target is. So I'll get all the remote viewing session work, and I will produce a blind analysis, a blind summary of what I feel as though the data represents. And we'll publish that before we actually enter what we call the feedback phase. the feedback phase being when everything's done, everything's complete, and we actually get feedback from the tasker as to what the target is. So before that, prior to that, we'll actually post a blind analysis, a summary based on the data. And that's going to be really, really interesting. That's the project we did in April. That was really the cool thing about it, because when you looked at the session work individually that we posted, it was the April 04 presentation we have over at TrinityScience.com. If you look at the individual sessions, there's nothing, you know, super outstanding that you look at and say, oh my God, this person nailed the target 100%. There's good data in there, and there's noise, and there's bad data in there.
Yeah.
But when you look at the blind analysis that was produced, the blind analysis was pretty much dead on, and that's what's really interesting, because you can have an analyst look at all their blind remote viewing data, produce a blind analysis, and what is the data telling the analyst? And that's what's really interesting. You know, are you able to produce a summary that's congruent to the target? So that's what's going to be really cool, in addition to just the remote viewing. So we'll do that, and you know, have that documented, have that published. You know, there'll be a strong chain of custody type of protocols in place. And then we'll enter into feedback, see what the target is, and see how we did. You know,
yeah.
How was the remote viewing work? How was the analysis? What did we learn? What could we do better next time?
Yeah.
Good points, bad points, and just learn as a team on how to progress.
Yeah, one of the cool things about the April presentation that you were referring to of Jesus of the Nazarene, we did talk about that the last time you were here. And
well, this is something totally different. Actually.
Yeah.
That,
Yeah, I know that, but what I'm saying is, I mean, it, from what I found, what stuck out to me though with that, which I shouldn't say I'm hoping to see with this project, is that even if they were the consistency of the data itself, the statistics of it, there was a lot of consistency I saw. Even if the people were off, they were all kind of on the same. They were in the same ballpark sometimes, and that's what kind of was like, whoa.
And none of them, what
blows
my mind is they had no clue.
No clue.
That they were all in the same ballpark, and they were all after the same target. I mean, they knew they were after the same target, but they didn't know what the target was.
Yeah.
And when they came out with their session work, it really, really, I was taken aback.
Yeah, the statistics of it was what really drew me back.
Hey, Vance, I don't know if you covered this already, but how many, if any, people from Trinity Science is participating in this project? Do you know, roughly?
I don't know for sure. I mean, basically, it's not, you know, the people I work with over here at Trinity Science, I mean, it's all voluntary.
Yeah,
okay.
It's all voluntary.
Well, I was just asking out of, like, curiosity.
You know, I hope basically everyone participates, but, you know, that's not to say they will. You know, I mean, I hope as many people participate as possible, you know, whether it's, you know, the guys and gals over here or just, you know, everyone in the community or people that have never remote viewed. I mean, I hope everyone participates, because I want to, you know, it's going to be really cool to present this type of data out into the community and you'll be able to display all the different types of remote viewing, different methodologies. I mean, because I've seen some really, really neat ideas come in with people that are kind of doing their own thing, you know, remote. It may not be considered, you know, classical remote viewing, but they're accessing this information, you know, psychically, and in a way that makes sense to them, in a process that makes sense to them, and that's really the bottom line is personalizing this and making it your own. And you know, so I'm looking forward myself to seeing, you know, new ideas on how people access info. But yeah, I hope as many people that are, you know, trained or you know, have different types of backgrounds in remote viewing participate, but yeah, I can't say definitely who will, who won't. But yeah, I hope everyone will. I definitely will not, because again, as we set this up, the critical parts are going to be the tasker, the manager, the analyst, and the remote viewers. That's basically the four categories of people you have participating in this. So I will be the analyst. I will not remote view. You guys will be the manager. And if you guys, and this is important, as Ghostly Talk, being the managers, you should not be remote viewing. So if someone there, Karma, if you want to participate in this, you cannot actually take part in the management process.
Okay, I won't be doing that, Ben.
Yeah, no.
Because I want to take part in it.
Yeah, anyone that's involved in the management and the analysis and the tasking process, you do not remote view. So if Scott or Doug or Will, you know, if you guys basically need to decide if you know, who wants to participate as remote viewers and who doesn't, and kind of dole that out accordingly, because not that there's much involved with the actual project manager, but if there's any questions that a remote viewer has as to the process or anything, it will be routed to the project manager. Your sole, you know, basic function is to manage the project. So you may be answering questions as to, well, you know, when do I need to have this in, or, you know, you may be relaying information to me or someone else, and I don't want any type of contamination or tainted data, you know. So if you're managing the project, you're not remote viewing. So that's important. So these tasks are solely that task, and no remote viewing for managers, analysts, taskers, you know, that's it. So
okay, that's it. Mud wrestling after the show.
Because I know you guys want to do this.
Yeah.
Well, I'd like to, but you know, I figure that there will be others. Another goal for this is, you know, the goals for this whole project is to, of course, get participation. That, you know, have as many people participate as possible to produce the data, to produce the session work, so that we can. So that we can learn from that session work and from the overall project in general, to put data out to the remote viewing community. You know, hey, here's some more data. Yeah. Look at it. What can you learn from it? Can you learn from it? Can you dismiss parts of it? What can you do with this data? And it just gives people more groundwork to base their remote viewing on, and their skills and their learning about it, things like that. So it gives people more information to continue their
quest. So regardless of your job, I mean, everybody's going to be getting something out of this.
And also another goal, I'm hoping that other folks will do some more
session
open work. Projects.
Mm-hmm.
You know, not just Ghostly Talk and Trinity Science, but other folks, and or maybe even Trinity Science will say, hey, this open thing, it's working, you know, let's do it. And, you know, or Ghostly Talk, we might even decide, but I'm hoping that others as well decide, hey, they ran this open project, open to anybody, and they, you know, they got some folks to do stuff, and they got some hard data. They ran it well, hopefully we'll run it well, with Vance at the, you know, Vance telling us how to run it. I think that we've got a good shot at running it well.
Yeah.
And I think that, you know, more people could do open projects, because it's one of the things that I read in the parapsychology book, you know, Renee Sudre's parapsychology from C.E. Green's, you know, Trait Day parapsychology.
Yeah.
This kind of work used to be done a lot. Not this particular project, not particularly remote viewing. This is cutting edge. But back when that book was written, they really studied mesmerism, somnambulism, hypnotism, teleportation, telekinesis. They studied telepathy. I mean, they were in labs with equipment and stuff like that. We don't need that for this particular this particular thing, because this is very individual. Coming up with your data is very individual. We don't need a lab, but we do need a project. And there's a lack of projects, a lack of ongoing projects in the parapsychological world right now. It needs to happen more often. So I'm hoping that not only does this, you know, make some fun, you know, have some fun here, but also learn a lot, and hopefully kick off even bigger and better and more things to come.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you what, guys.
Absolutely. I mean, there are some really some great community RV type projects going on. They are out there. There's just not a huge abundance of them. So, you know, it's certainly, you know, it's not me standing up by myself saying, hey, you know. Look at this, I'm the only one, you know, absolutely not, because there's more talented people out there than myself doing experiments and projects like this, but there needs to be more. And I'm just fortunate and lucky, and thank you guys so much for having, you know, presenting me with the opportunity to be able to do something like this with the community, and that's what's important. It's just more. You need much, much more of this type of things going on in the community, so I'm really excited about that. But, that's really the bottom line, is getting more participation, more data, but having fun.
And we can also help. This will help refine things for other people, because I read Joe McMonagle's book, his first book, and it took Stargate a long time to develop their protocols.
Absolutely.
I mean, they started with basically calling some people into a room, making them read a whole bunch of books and making them look at different theories, you know, that they would draw on the blackboard, and then say, okay, here's how we're going to do it. We're going to lock you in a room with a, you know, with a bottle of water and a pen and paper and see what you come out with, you know. And then they're like, okay, we can't do it that way. We have to have a, you know, we have to have a control.
Right.
And so they added the control in. And then they said, okay, well, that's working. But then so-and-so from this and that department said that, you know, the control could have been, you know, mental telepathying the answer, you know. So they said, so we've got to have like a billion targets and then randomly pick one from an envelope, you know. And so then they started doing that. And then, so that developed over 15 years.
Right. That's the critical point is we have a pretty decent roadmap laid out for us. You know, our tax dollars at work for 15 or 20 years with this type of training in the military really produced some really tight protocols, a nice roadmap for us to follow as to what to do and what not to do. And what I may do actually too, I was thinking about this the other day, is I may have the independent task or that's setting up these targets, I may have him or her set up a small pool of targets, say maybe 6 targets, and have, you know, whoever's going to be the designated manager roll a 6-sided die, maybe, and randomly pick the target actually that will be assigned.
And that is one of the things that they learned in Project Stargate.
Yeah, that's one of the things I was kind of entertaining the last couple of days, and we may actually do something like that where, you know, on a designated day where you guys need to pick the target. Maybe I'll, you guys can get in contact with each other via phone or whatever happens, email, and have you guys throw a die, and that die will indicate, which target ID will be relayed to you, so it's even more randomly assigned.
And they do that so that because if you had the independent tasker out there in the world knowing exactly what it was, exactly what the target is, at any given moment, he could be thinking telepathy, you know, and going, you know, ooh, it's this, ooh, it's this, ooh, it's this. And if he's concentrating on it, if somebody picks up on that telepathically,
you just contaminated it.
You contaminated it. So that's why they had a pool of targets, and they randomly selected from the pool of targets.
Yeah, so we can get, you know, just really, really crazy with this and have fun with it. But, there's definitely a roadmap set for us that we can follow. Do we have to take a break right now? Or?
Yep, let's take a break. Oh, first, Karma, what's up?
I have a quick question. Vance, you said that there's different methods of remote viewing, correct?
Yes.
Okay, and what is the importance if, say, when we submit our data to you, is it important for us to write what method we use to, like in future, like analyzing?
Actually, that's an excellent point, Karma. When we do that, yeah, we'll have to have something set up too. Over the next week here, we'll have to sort this out. Where, yeah, definitely, when people submit their session work, if they're using something other than, say, a, you know, CRV, TRV, SRV, HRV, something that is known and documented right now, if they're using something other than that, I'll need a little bit of, what exactly is your method? Absolutely.
Right, because if the person chooses to sit down, light a candle, and stare into the flame, right? Well, I mean, and that's a perfectly valid way to do it, you know?
Absolutely.
If you choose to light a candle, stare into the flame until you see a pink elephant or something, you know, and then you're like, and so you draw this elephant, you know. I mean, no matter what it is, okay, you should, you know, probably write down, say, I stared into a flame until I hallucinated the answer, you know? Okay. And that's absolutely fine. Because
the bottom of mine, it'll say, meditated, looked at a candle, fell asleep, hair caught on fire, and then it came to me.
And that'll be perfect. But we do need to, that would be interesting to know, because if it's a standard methodology versus your own, we should know what that is. Let's take a quick break, and we'll be back with more from Vance S. West of TrinityScience.com.